for this intimacy this morning. What I mean by that is, we're here and you're here. You created us. You provided for us. You sustain us. You take care of us. You give us the breath of life. You've given us salvation in Jesus Christ. You want to have a relationship with us. And as we pray right now, your ear is bent this way and you hear our prayers. God, we are so grateful that we serve the God of the universe who cares about each and every one of us. As small and as insignificant as we may think we are, we know we're significant because Jesus Christ died for each and every one of us. And if we just accept the gift of salvation, understanding that we are fallen people, need to repent of our sin and to give our life to Jesus Christ, that is the answer ultimately to all that ails us. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you as we gather here this morning for the country we live in, the freedoms we enjoy. God, we still live in a world where we know there's a battle between good and evil. And God, we're asking that you in your sovereignty would look over our world. That God, this battle between good and evil would ultimately be won by the righteousness of God. God, we just ask and pray that you would lead us into the future. Whatever that future is, we believe, I believe with all of my heart, that indeed you've got this, and we thank you. God, we pray, Lord, as we pray for not only our own country, we pray for our whole world. We pray for those who live in areas of our world where there's warring going on, such as Ukraine. We pray for those who are recovering from natural disasters. We pray in all those areas that your church would rise up, that your light would shine, and that people's lives would be permanently and eternally affected by the love of Christ shown by the people of God in Christ. God, we also gather here this morning, and we lift up people whom we love and know and ask that you do a mighty work. We praise you and thank you for answers to prayer. We thank you that so many times we spend our time asking for things and forget to acknowledge the things that you have done. And so we praise you and thank you for healings. We praise you and thank you for sustaining grace. We thank you and praise you that you've given us life on this day to live, to worship, and to praise you. God, this morning we pray that you'd be with all these needs that have been mentioned this morning. For Ed and the healing of his foot. For John Bailey and his fight with Parkinson's. For James Judson and his recovery from heart surgery. Ted Stone as well. We pray for Julie's mom, Kathy, and the skin cancer. I pray that you'd bring healing there. Lord, for Laura Janicek, and we pray that the doctors would discover what didn't go right and that she would have relief from that which ails her. Lord, we pray that you would be with Betsy Nahmer and the skin cancer, that it would be removed. Lord, we pray for the family of Grandma Dee Dee and ask that you would be with them, be with Lily, and be with all of those. Lord, we pray for this granddaughter who has a baby. She struggles with drugs and addictions like so many do. God, we pray that you'd work a miracle in all of this. The custody of the child, the healing of her dependence on drugs. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would so overpower that there would be an addiction to the Holy Spirit of God, and that the addictions to all the substances and things in our life that drag us away would be so diminished they would be no more. Lord, I pray that you'd work in this situation, in every other situation here this morning that might be of a similar vein. Lord, we pray that you'd be with Big G, with Greg, in the Gaylord Hospital, and pray that his infection would go away and that he would be healed. Lord, we just pray for all the concerns that are here this morning. We ask that you'd meet them in a very special way. Lord, we thank you for what Bill shared with us this morning in the reunion of sorts that may bring some kind of closure and healing in the midst of the unknown. God, be with each and everyone here this morning. Any unspoken concerns are out there right now. We lift them up to you and ask you to meet the need, because you are more than able. You can do above and beyond whatever we think or imagine. For we give you praise and thanks in Jesus' precious name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would you join me, if the computer works, for our song up here on the screen, The Blessing. We sang this a couple weeks ago. You should come maybe to the end of the service, but the words are so meaningful in light of what we get to sharing.
More bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you.
fact that God has put me and put you here right now at this point in time in history. And that what we do, what we say, what we think, how we act has an impact on not just those around us, but for the next generation and the generation after that. It puts an import, doesn't it, on asking ourselves, are we living our life for Him or are we living our life for us? So I just want us to think about that. And, you know, as we now spend some time to just sit here and to think, and again, thank God for His blessings. We have had an opportunity to give this morning as we came in, an opportunity to give on the way out. We want to take a few moments to say thank you, God. You have blessed, and this is one way we worship you back by giving. It is a joy to be together on this morning. It is a joy to give to you because you've been so good to us. God, as always, we ask these gifts would be used for your purposes and yours alone. And we are grateful again in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
You may be seated. Our second reading is from Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is a spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God will is His God pleasing and perfect will.
Amen.
The reading of the word.
I love it when the word touches the heart, and Sylvia touched your heart this morning. Amen. The last 2 weeks and now the third weekend that we've been talking about this passage from Mark 12:30 that says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And this week we're going to talk about our mind. And, sometimes I think my mind needs an overhaul. My mind doesn't work like it used to work. Things are a little short-circuited up there. I think that has to do with age. But anyway, we want to talk about the mind this morning. 2 weeks ago, we talked about our heart, our passion. And we want to love the Lord our God with all of our passion, with, that heart. And then last week, we talked about our soul. That's the whole inner being. It's the whole of who we are. It's our soul. It's what God created in us when He created Adam and Eve, and He gave them the breath of life, and He gave them a soul, and that's who we are. And now we want to talk about our mind. Our mind is a tricky thing, and our mind can turn one way or turn another depending on what we want to listen to. Some of you have heard the term, and this term comes from what we'll read in different versions of the Bible. We'll read words that maybe we won't find in the other version of the Bible, and it means the same thing. And in the King James Version, it talks about a carnal mind. A mind that is worldly. A mind that's consumed with the stuff of this world is not really consumed by the things of God. And in this text that was read this morning, in the second verse of Romans 12, verse 2, it talks about a mind that is worldly, that needs to be renewed. A worldly mind does what? How does it think? I think a worldly mind thinks the same way, to some degree, a mind that we have in Christ thinks, but it has a different approach. I, in Christ, want to be happy. A worldly mind would want to be happy. We want to be satisfied. We want to be fulfilled. We want to be complete. A worldly mind wants to be satisfied. A worldly mind wants to be fulfilled. A worldly mind wants to be complete. It's no different for a Christian and a non-Christian. The difference is how we approach it, how we get there. Because a worldly mind can't get there. They keep trying over and over and over again. And they might find something that works for a season, for a little bit, but it doesn't have any kind of length to it. It certainly doesn't have an eternity to it. If I have a worldly mind, I'm going to use anything at my disposal to accomplish it, whatever it is. And it's only right or wrong if I think it's right or wrong. Is that not the world we live in today? It's all a matter of what I think or what you think. And we don't have anything there that's absolute. That's a carnal mind. That's a worldly mind. What is the pattern that Paul's speaking of in 12:2 or 12:1? If Paul is addressing this, as he is in the text here this morning, he's addressing something that he sees as an issue with the Christians that he's talking to. He says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in light of what they've been doing, the way they have been living," he's addressing the church and saying, "You got to change things a little bit. I'm seeing something going on here I don't really like." And therefore, he says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves, your bodies, as living sacrifices." Perhaps what's implied here or what's inferred here, I'm not too sure which word to use there, but you can use either one and do with it what you want. He's speaking of something that's going on here. You see, a concern about me is masked by an apparent concern for others. I think what he's saying is, you kind of sort of look like maybe you're living the way you ought to live, but you're really not. And you really won't until you see yourself the way Christ sees you. And until you see the way Christ lived for us, you'll never get there, because He offered Himself as a sacrifice for us. And He's asking us to offer ourselves as living sacrifices for Him. And so this pattern that Paul speaks of to the Christian church, mind you, to brothers and sisters in Christ, he says, you might kind of think you're doing it that way, but it's masked by a concern about me instead of a concern about others. This noble endeavor eventually is seen for what it is, self-serving. You and I, by nature, as fallen creatures, are self-serving. Sometimes even in the Church of Jesus Christ, We live as self-serving people, even if we're doing something that seems to be a more noble task. We seek self-gratification, self-adulation. We seek to do whatever we do so that it will make me look better. We do all these things. So you see, sometimes even the noble things we do are sometimes couched in, "It's all about me." The God we serve, and what Paul, the author of Romans, is telling the church here, the God we serve ends up not being God. It's me instead. You see, a worldly mind thinks in terms of its own culture. We have to think in terms of that which is around us, right? That's what a worldly mind does. We think in terms of what's going on in the world, and so we react to, we respond to, we learn from, we educate ourselves from what is going on around us in the world. You know, 200 years ago, the mind of a large majority of Americans mirrored a culture that espoused Christian morals and principles. The majority of America back then seemed to espouse an ethic that was Judeo-Christian. And yet, today is not the same. We used to call ourselves a Christian nation. I don't know that we can any longer call us that. In fact, polls continue to tell us that attendance in churches, that people who espouse to a faith in God, all these things are just taking a nosedive in all the polls that you see. In today's America, the culture isn't Christian anymore. Therefore, culture reflects something far different than what a Christian believes. You see, in both cultures, the one 200 years ago with its own flaws because it's made up of human beings, the culture we live in today, in both cultures, a person without Christ will gravitate to selfishness in mirroring its own culture. That's what we'll gravitate to if we do not have Christ. We will gravitate to what the culture says, not to what God says. In other words, it is always a downward spiral without the renewing of one's mind. And that's what Paul is dealing with today in Scripture. As he's saying, look, I see it happening. You're adopting what culture says is right. You're adopting what culture says is the thing. And you're not doing what God wants you to do because you look like you're doing that, but you're about you and not about Him. I'm going to do something this morning very briefly because I know we don't have much time. But I want to even look at the way Christianity looks at the world today. A lot of Christendom that is different than it was many decades, if not centuries ago. And it's this. We used to have a Jewish mindset. And what I mean by that is the church used to believe God's word for God's word. The Old Testament and the truths that it shared, along with the New Testament and the truths that it shared. We believe that God created and that we didn't evolve. We believe that God was the creator of the universe and we didn't just evolve from whatever it was we evolved from. What's happened today in the world we live in today is we've adopted what culture said. And instead, we have adopted this word, the evolving of everything around us. You know, the Bible didn't evolve. The Bible was the Word of God from the beginning and it's never changed. God created. And in fact, I'll tell you what I find interesting in the world we live in today. Science has become more, at least I should say, the science by those who practice science without a presupposition that there was a creator God have become more and more silent on the issue of how things began. And the reason why is it's not fitting their narrative. It's not fitting their narrative. More and more and more and more we see evidence that there was a creator God. There was an intelligent design. There was something behind what's going on in the world. Evolution can't explain it. Chance can't explain it. It's design. And part of that is the renewing of our mind. I think what we ought to have, and a lot of this comes freshly in my mind again because I went to the Creation Museum again just a few weeks ago. And so it's like right out there in front of me again. We have to have a mind that thinks the things of God and not a mind that thinks the things of the world around us. Do you think that culture knows more about us and our beginnings than God's Word does? I don't think so. The renewing of our mind. We have to think the way God wants us to think. To have a mindset that says God is the one who knows. God is the one who's in control. Otherwise, we see at work in life this. When all I care about is me, which is ultimately the mindset of anyone who doesn't have a mind that's renewed in Christ, all I care about is me. The need to succeed, pride, gratification, money, stuff, sex, stimulants, entertainment, whatever it is, everything that's out there in culture is all about trying to satisfy me. I am most important. So all this is about me. Sex is about me. Life is about me. Money is about me. Happiness is about me. Everything is about me. You see, a mind that's not renewed in Christ, everything that goes on in the world around us ultimately becomes all about me. I have something to share with you this morning. It's not about me. It's about Him. And if it's about Him, it's about those whom God has given me in this world to care about and love. So it's about the other. It's not about me. You see, if I am most important, then all these things we look at in the world today are looked at in light of me. And I'm a fallen creature, folks. Saved by God, saved by His grace, but I am still someone who continues to fight the old sin nature. And I can't let that tell me. When we look at everything from how God addresses us and our relationships with other people, you know, it's whatever makes me happy. Abuse, promiscuity, perversions, alternatives, all these kinds of things. You see, that's culture. It's not God's Word. What about the value of human life? Euthanasia on one end, abortion on the other end. Helping the helpless and those who have handicaps. Jeremiah 1:5 says, God knew us before we were even born. While we were in the womb, God knew us. And so if He knew us, He had a purpose for us. And everybody has a purpose. And everybody is valued by God. What about our finances? Who is the first concern and sometimes the only concern? Me. You see? If my mind is not renewed, all these things are affected. My morality. It's all about what's okay for me. It has nothing to do with what's best for the whole. It's all about what's okay for me or what's okay for you. As long as what you do doesn't affect me and what I do doesn't affect you. All these things are affected by the lack of the renewing of the mind. And I think that has affected even us as the Church of Jesus Christ. Sometimes I have to look at myself and say, Dave, am I following the ways of the world? Or do I need to have a renewing of my mind? I need to offer myself as a living sacrifice. I need to live the way God wants me to live. I need to live in light of what He says and not what everybody else around me says. Because if I listen to what everyone else around me says, I become more and more like culture. And I become more and more depraved. Because that's where sin takes you. It never takes you in a good direction. Always starts out good, though, I'll tell you that. It's like chocolate to begin with. That's what sin is. It's milk chocolate, not dark chocolate, because it's not good. Milk chocolate is what sin is like to start with, isn't it? It starts out that way. It's like, oh, man, this is good. But then it's like dark chocolate, because that dark chocolate, after I eat it, then there's an aftertaste. No, that's not a good comparison. The dark chocolate is still good. But sin is like that. Sin is like that. It'll take us further and further and further down the path that it wants to take us, because that's what sin does. And unless you and I have the renewing of the mind and the heart and the soul, what happens is we become more and more like culture. Then you can't distinguish between culture, the church, and God. So I want to encourage us. I want to challenge us, because I need to be challenged on this. I think all of us need to be challenged on this. And everybody's struggling with a different sin. But all of us need to be challenged with this. God, renew my mind to think like you think. To be like you are. To see your word in its whole from the beginning to the end. That God, everything happened for a purpose. It wasn't by chance. He created, and He did, and He does, and He will do. That's the God who we have. Renew our minds for holy living. Never seek, folks, how many times I hear us say, but that's not what culture thinks. Who cares what culture thinks? Never seek the culture's definition of right and wrong. Never seek our own definition of right and wrong. But always seek God's definition of right and wrong. And then deal with it. Struggle with it. Work with it. But recognize that by the renewing of my mind, I know what God says. And I want to live in a way that's better in line with what God says. And it'd be a lifetime of doing so. Stop thinking about self and start thinking about God. That's when the renewing of our mind begins. Because He died for you and He died for me. Die to self. Die to our culture. And live for Him and His kingdom. People in this world need to see something that's different about the church than what is in culture. That's why the two rub against each other. Because we were not called to be like culture. We were called to come out of the world culture and be what God's called us to be, realizing we're all a work in progress. We've never arrived. Don't ever leave this church on Sunday morning thinking you're better than someone else. You need a spiritual slap across the head. Because we're not. But what we do need to do is leave and understand that I want to live the way God wants me to live. I'm going to work towards that every day of my life. If you're struggling with sin, I ask you this morning, confess that sin and believe through the renewing of your mind that God can change you and He can change me. And for that, I am grateful. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you, God, for your word. It is your word. I believe it's your word. I hope everyone here believes it is your word. It is the ordained, authoritative word of God, right from the beginning all the way to the end. And God, we're so confused in the world we live in today. We don't know what is right and what is wrong because we have taken the definition of what culture tells us. And we call that your word. No. Help us to look at your word to find out what you want for us. Renew our mind in a way that looks to you for the answers, that looks to you for the yes and the no, that looks to you for forgiveness, that looks to you in repentance, and ask, Lord, that you would renew our mind and help us to be living sacrifices for you. In Jesus' precious name.